I'm going to read a few passages from the New Eight Steps to Happiness. Venerable Geshe says, everyone wants to be happy, but no one in samsara experiences true happiness. In comparison with the amount of suffering they endure, the happiness of living beings is rare and fleeting. And even this is only a contaminated happiness that is in reality the nature of suffering. Buddha called the pleasurable feelings that result from worldly enjoyments changing suffering because they are simply the experience of a temporary reduction of manifest suffering. In other words, we experience pleasure due to the relief of our previous pain. For example, the pleasure we derive from eating is really just a temporary reduction of our hunger. The pleasure we derive from drinking is merely a temporary reduction of our thirst. And the pleasure we derive from ordinary relationships is, for the most part, merely a temporary reduction of our underlying loneliness. So this is a really, really fundamental point. The whole purpose of the Buddhist path is to find a greater and greater happiness and the ability to share that with others. And so we need to be really clear where happiness is. Part of our mind is thinking it's this way, and Buddha is saying, well, actually, it's that way. And so we need to check carefully. So what Buddha is saying is that most of what we call happiness isn't really happiness. It's relief. It's relief. He calls it changing suffering. So Venerable Geshe gave a number of examples here. Another example we could think about that he uses elsewhere is if we have a terrible headache and we take some effective painkiller and the headache subsides, how does it feel? It feels blissful. It feels absolutely blissful. Now maybe, you know, that we have that sort of eyeball scratching, throbbing, agonizing pain, and then it's just dissolving and disappearing, and we're like, oh, thank goodness. I feel human. Oh. And it's blissful. It is utterly blissful not having the headache. But not having a headache isn't blissful. Not having a headache is just not having a headache. It's only blissful in relation to, in direct proportion to the pain. Once we've forgotten the pain of the headache, not having a headache gives us no happiness at all. It isn't actually, like if you imagine like a graph and you've got like a, I don't know, a negative axis and a positive axis. I'm not very good at maths, but you know, probably you know what I'm talking about. We have a pain and the pain reduces, but all that's getting us back to is zero. We're not actually crossing into real happiness. In some of the examples Venerable Geshe lists here, he talks about the pleasure we derive in ordinary relationships is for the most part a temporary reduction of our underlying loneliness. So in general, we're very social creatures and we long for connection. And maybe for large parts of our life, we don't feel connected. We don't feel acknowledged. We don't feel noticed. We don't feel appreciated or cherished. And if after a period like that, we meet someone who clearly sees us and appreciates us and enjoys us and wants to be with us, it feels fantastic. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a thrilling feeling. We're so happy to have met this person. We even say, like, I'm falling in love. I'm falling in love. From a Buddhist point of view, that's not love at all. But we say, I'm falling in love. Because what's happening there is we found someone whose company we enjoy, who we think is going to make us happy. And we think, I want more of this. I want more time with this person. I'm in love. And we're like floating on the ceiling. It's not unusual, though, that if we then do sustain that relationship, that after a while, the sort of shine does sort of fade. And we're like, wouldn't mind a bit of space, actually. Wouldn't mind. Just, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about ending everything. I just need my own space. Haven't you got other things to do? Like, you do your thing. And then separate rooms, and then separate cars, and then separate houses, and anyway, whatever. And there comes a point where we're like, you know, I can't stand this. I'm being suffocated. I'm living in someone else's. I don't want to be living in your. And then we're free. Hooray. Free at last. I can do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. I'm free. Now I'm lonely. And then, you know, there is a simplification, because obviously in those relations, in our relationships, there is love. Love where we genuinely cherish the other person and we do care about them and so forth. And it's not about us, it is about them. But a large part of what's going on there is there's a loneliness, there's a sense of being acknowledged and appreciated. We like that until we've forgotten about the loneliness, and then there's no real joy anymore of being acknowledged and being with this person. And then we start to get fed up with being with the person. Then we want freedom, alone time. So what Buddha's saying is, it's really, really important. He's saying, we need to find out what actually makes us happy. Like, what actually makes us happy? Because most of what we turn to for happiness isn't a real cause of happiness. And the way we can check is, what would happen if I got more and more and more of it? Because if, when we get more and more and more of something, it starts to become less enjoyable, eventually quite uncomfortable, even painful, that's indicating it's not really causing us happiness. There might be a pleasurable relief, but we're not crossing into that positive axis of actual happiness.